Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews-Okome. So let's get started.
Hey, hey, friends. Welcome back to the show. It's Nikayla here, back with another episode. And today in the guest chair, I have Kunbi Odubogun. She is an industry-leading business attorney, speaker, and digital media expert with over 12 years' experience in the legal and events industries. She is partner at Oduberg, a boutique business law firm that provides legal services to creative entrepreneurs. With a keen eye for detail and an unwavering commitment to her client's success, Kunbi has built a reputation as a trusted legal advisor to startups, small businesses, and creative professionals. In addition to her work at Oduberg, Kunbi is also the creator of two online businesses, Legally Set, which is a contract template shop offering ready-made contract templates for creative entrepreneurs, and Perfet, a luxury events and lifestyle resource. In today's episode, Kunbi shares how she was able to start these side hustles while working as an attorney, and also how she transitioned from her full-time job to her own firm, as well as how she's transitioning from her first business that she started. So many gems shared in this episode. I can't wait for you to hear it. So let's get right into it. Kunbi, welcome to the guest chair.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure to have you here. You are an ultimate side hustler. Whenever I meet an attorney who side hustles, y'all, I just bow down because I don't know how, when you get the time and you have two kids. So, okay, break it down for us. So you went to law school. What did you see yourself doing out of law school?
So for sure, I knew I wanted to do business law. I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, I've known, like, since I was little that,
why is that?
I wanted to be a business. Well, because growing up as a Nigerian, everybody would tell you that we're the professional side hustlers. Mm-hmm. We're the professional side, but even hustlers, period. Everything is, like, I remember they used to ask me when I was little, what does your dad do? He's a businessman. I don't know what that means. Right. I didn't even know what the man did, but, like, he's a businessman. What does your mom do? She's a businesswoman.
Oh.
So, like, for me, like, do you know what I mean? So the idea of business mm-hmm. was, like, the goal. And I knew I wanted to be an attorney. I don't know, like, some of the reasons aren't actual legitimate reasons. I think it was more familial pressure in that, you talk too much, you should do law kind of thing.
And it kind You'd of just, good at that.
You know what I mean? You know how they all say, like, cho, you must be a lawyer. So I kind of just ran with it, and it just stuck, like, forever. I was like, okay, I want to be a lawyer. Came to America and found out the ugly truth that you have to first go through university.
Oh, yeah.
Get a whole degree first.
Yes.
Before you could even attempt law school. That was shocking. Because that's not the situation.
Oh, elsewhere. Can you just go to law school in Nigeria?
Yeah. You can get a bachelor. Well, it's still two-tiered, but you get a bachelor's degree in law.
Okay.
So you can do that first. You know what I mean? So it was strange, but
you did it.
I made it happen.
What did you do after you graduated?
It was the most, what I call magical experience. I went for my first interview, I think a couple of months before law school was going out. And this sweet older Jewish man was just talking to me about Nigeria. I thought it was the funniest thing. And I just knew that that was where I wanted to work. So I started working out of a firm in New York City. Funny enough, it wasn't business law. It was a criminal defense law firm.
That sounds fun. I don't know why I think that's so fun.
It was fun for me because, first of all, I'm obsessed with Law and Order and like criminal minds. Right. So it was fun for me for like the first 6 months until I realized like, okay, no, this is getting really serious. These are some serious cases.
Right.
So, but then it was truly, I think it was meant to be because in that firm, they wanted to branch out into more general practice. Mm-hmm. And so we started building that practice together. And it just started with like business immigration. And then all of a sudden we were doing business law and grew it into an actual functioning arm of the business. And I thought that was just amazing. So that's what I did right out of law school. And I was there for 11 going on 12, like almost 12 years
before
I transitioned into my own.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't hear a lot of attorneys. Well, the ones that I've met on this show, mm-hmm. I don't hear a lot of them stay that have been there that long, or at least not at the same firm. Like they transition maybe in-house first. So it sounds like you had a good experience and you got to be a part of transforming the firm.
Yes. See, it's one of those things where I say, like I said, I feel like it was meant to be. Yeah. It was so hands-on. It was a small firm. It was literally three attorneys when we got started. And any attorney would tell you that it's those smaller firms in which you get hands-on experience for real. Like a lot of times in bigger law firms, you're doing like maybe a fraction of the work and then other people are doing it. You get to really get into the gritty of it. But also that firm became my family. My boss literally came to Nigeria for my wedding.
What?
So it wasn't like, yeah. So he came for my kid's
birthday.
It's not. Yeah. So it felt right. But it also gave me the opportunity being able to do that primarily, but also allowed me to do so many other things like my side hustles. Mm-hmm. So it was just the perfect fit.
Let's talk about these side hustles. So when did you start side hustling while you were working?
I started almost immediately, honestly, because I graduated law school in 2010.
Okay.
And my side hustles have always started from passion projects. It's never been, for me, what's curious is that most of them have never really been side hustles first. Okay. It was more like, oh, I was doing something passionately, like blogging. Like you don't really hear the blogging aspect of a business model as much now, but in 2012, that's like, you know, that was when we were really online doing like a lot of dumping on the internet when it came to information. So I started two blogs. One was a Tumblr account and I was just blogging about my law school experience. It was called Legally Present. And it was just like, you know, posting a bunch of memes about the like legal experience. And the other one was when I got engaged in 2012, I started like blogging about my wedding. And it's just those two little things that happened. And then they just kind of blossomed into two really incredible projects for me. My wedding blog was called Isle Perfect. It was literally just me and a couple of my bridesmaids and like Twitter friends. I'd post stuff and share about my engagement experience.
Okay.
And then one day I wake up and there are 1 million views. Yeah.
Was that on the Tumblr platform as well?
No, so that one was on Blogspot.
Okay. Oh, good old Blogspot.
Like, I know, it's nostalgia, like on Google's free blogging platform called Blogspot.
You know, wedding is big business, so I'm not even surprised. When I got married, I definitely was like, what business can I start? Like, there's so much money to be made here. But I just couldn't figure it out.
There is so much money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, with the wedding discussion, right? There's so much money to be made. Mm-hmm. And you just really have to find the right angle. So a lot of people will just go for what they see other people doing because it's like, like, you know, like there's money, it's money in it. Like, just find what you can replicate. But I find that I've seen a lot of people try to disrupt the wedding industry in terms of certain angles, and then they spend a lot of money going into it, and then it crashes out. Because the problem with weddings, though, is that it's a very, it's the word volatile, but it's a very quick business, in that something that's in this year is not, yes, might not be in next year,
right,
or might not be in after like two or three seasons. So you have to really be like very considerate about what kind of part of it you want to be.
Mm-hmm. And be ready to pivot. You're so right about that. Like a style, one year, it's like these kind of chairs, and now everyone wants the gold chairs with the, you know, gold back and the white. It's like, I always say, I'm so glad I got married when I did, because I could not take the pressure of getting married. The Instagram pressure of getting married.
Really? Just,
I mean,
I cannot.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind. Like, yeah. Especially, I can't even imagine. It's not, literally nothing is the same.
Nothing.
Now, like, you know, there's, and I'm not taking away from it, because it's a beautiful thing. And you know what, like the truth, it's an expensive, it's a big deal. It's big business, but it's also a very big day for, not just for you, but for the vendors and people that are putting in their time. I don't know if I could survive it now.
So what business did you shift Aisle Perfect into? So from the blog, how did you start to monetize?
So from the blog, like the blog was, like I said, initially the whole blogging idea of it was actually the model, basically, where it was, you know, views automatically made ads, which made sense. And so the amount of people you were getting was doing, like, it just made sense like that. But then it started moving. And the way I started finding it was that a lot of vendors were following the platform. Mm. A lot of vendors were, like, you know, also looking at the content and looking to be featured and everything. Okay. So we first shifted into the directory model, where it was like, okay, you have vendors, but then, like, everything is always never a forever pivot. So you're now thinking, so how else can I then, like, service these vendors and make sure that they're getting a good bang for their buck? We started doing things like the Aisle Perfect Trends and Tastings, which was like having micro events in cities and having vendors participate in it, like, you know, and then, you know, selling tickets, but also being able to leverage that into like printables and things that our couples could use. After a while, that model just kept growing in that sense. But then 2016 came. Anybody that's a blogger knows that was like probably peak views, blogs and everything.
Really?
And then you start wondering how else you're going to, like, how it's going to be a sustainable model more than a couple of dollars here and there. Ads. Then it started being like brand partnerships. Like, we've partnered with Dove, GoDaddy, Crate and Barrel, like larger brands who wanted to see their content translated into our audience. That worked for a while. And then I started getting the itch again. I'm always getting the itch. And I decided to pivot fully into what is now Perfect.
Okay. What's the difference with Perfect?
So Aisle Perfect is a wedding blog. It was for the, you know, whoever wanted to be Aisle Perfect on their wedding day. In 2017, I had my first child, my son. And that was when I started getting the itch, because I felt like I wasn't in the space where it was just weddings I wanted to talk about or cater to. I was seeing like avenues where there were moms now. And like what I like to say, the Aisle Perfect couple had become like somebody else who was maybe buying a home or, like, you know, looking for like content for their kid's birthday.
Yeah.
And so the name Perfect, which basically is just the perfect fit.
Yep.
Like a combination of the two words came about.
Okay.
I think it's harder to sell Aisle Perfect to somebody that's not planning a wedding. Mm-hmm. So the idea was to pivot into Perfect, made sure I got the trademark and everything done before I announced the whole rebrand of the site. And the idea for me was that with Perfect, then you're able to sell more things, like the Perfect home, the Perfect party, Perfect kids, Perfect anything, and then tie that on there and kind of grow with your audience. So it wasn't just one audience anymore. It was a tough rebrand, having to move something that already had so many legs. But I'm so glad that we did it. And so that's how we started to cater.
How did you bring your audience along with that journey?
Ooh, that was an interesting one. So for me, it was with any rebrand anyway, I feel like there has to be like some carrying on for a little bit. So it was a lot of like, you know, something's happening.
Yeah.
Sign up for our newsletter so you can be updated.
Okay.
like a lot of like even I even dabbled in surveys, like what do you want to see on the blog. But most importantly, what I did was I think I did a week of giveaways.
Okay.
So it was like, you know, people were even doubling down on it because one, it was something that they wanted to see, to be fair, because they, like, the thing I was mentioning about, like, the wedding audience is that usually what ends up happening is that once the person plans their wedding, they're over it.
They're over it. Can I tell you, like, I will hide wedding content. I'm like, I don't ever want to see this again in my life. No.
Girl, who are you telling? I, even as deep as I can be in this space.
You. Everybody else, I'm happy for you. I just, you know, planning a wedding.
Enough.
There's a little PTSD involved in just all the things that you need to plan. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was me too. It was post, like, PTSD, and I felt like it was just, and then you now start even getting a little jaded after a while. It's like, okay, I've seen this before. And I'm like, okay, God, this is somebody's big day.
Yeah.
Like, why am I finding myself rolling my eyes? When that person is in that season.
Yeah.
So for me, that was important. So I still, like, I wanted to be able to talk about it. Like, maybe not me, but like somebody on my team would talk about the wedding aspect. There's always somebody, new couples are being made every single
hour.
So there's somebody that's in there. But then also I still, like, we had offshoots coming from it. So like the Perfect main page is Perfect Weddings. Mm-hmm. We have Perfect Bling, which is just completely engagement rings. So some people are in that season too, where it's just like, that's all they wanted to do. So I felt like the way to monetize that, obviously, is be able to maybe, for instance, get commission from like rings that you sell, which is rings are big business. If anybody knows that,
that's
where the money is. Like being able to dab, like, you know, still be able to give that person exactly what it is they're looking for and do that. Now we're all in the season. A lot of people are in the season of tidying up their living spaces or homes or buying homes. So Perfect Home started last year and it went straight to like 50,000 followers in like a very short period of time. Because guess what? People are always looking at houses. Either they can afford or cannot afford.
Right.
I, Kumbi, I stay looking at houses.
Yes. I have an Instagram save folder that's just like interior design, you know, for the future. Like,
you see?
And I'll just
for my future millions.
Yeah, for my future million dollar house. Like, of course, it's going to happen.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, when I move to Dallas, because Dallas is always on my Instagram feed talking about this is where your $200,000 will go. And you're like, wait, what?
Listen.
So, yeah.
I can't. We'll talk offline, but y'all, I can't do Texas. Sorry to my Texas people.
Me neither. So I just keep saving.
Y'all going to have to give me some pros and cons because one, I'm a city girl. Two, these southern states.
You guys
they scare me. But yes. Okay.
Yeah. You guys know what she's saying.
You know what
because
I'm talking about.
We're all on the
Texas
same page.
And Florida, you get the side eye a little bit.
Exactly.
So if I'm to understand you correctly, you know, as you're running this side hustle, are you monetizing through sponsorships plus also like banner ads and things on your website?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and I can say for like, to be completely candid, the monetization wasn't happening for a long time because like I said, I really was doing it just because like it was something that I truly enjoyed and I hadn't figured out anybody would tell you, like, even the smartest people or even people that go to school for it don't necessarily make the best business owners. Mm. So at first, like, it takes a lot of like adjusting into that space and realizing that, okay, wait, I actually have something of value here. And it didn't click for me. I was like, I call myself one of the OG wedding bloggers because it was like a period where it was just like echoes and echoes, especially in the like black wedding space, which like, you know, there was like Muna Lucci and Bridal, I think
Bridal Bliss or something. Yeah.
Well, yes. And yeah, so there's a few, but it was like, okay, this kind of content, like, especially if you were trying to produce like present another like side of that space or the spectrum, it was echoes. And, you know, they're throwing the money at the white blogs a lot, like, just generally because they're the ones that are forward facing a lot of times, but like it was hard to like really convince advertisers. But let me tell you something, one thing that's for sure in this world is that the audience though is going to keep showing up and they're still going to keep running those numbers high. And after a while, people don't even argue with the numbers anymore because it's like, okay, look at what numbers I'm doing. And this is how, so for the longest part, I didn't realize how to monetize it beyond like the just the face of it, like the banner ads. But then I started seeing things like affiliate commission, like affiliate links and things like that, because now you're sharing things that you actually like, but also including a link with it in which people can purchase and you make commission. All of a sudden, my lawyer ass that never knew anything about math is doing the math. And it's like, wait a minute now. Okay, this is actually a viable business. Right. So that was how we started to change. Okay. At one point, we even started getting like, you know, contacts from like music labels or something where it's like, oh, this is a wedding song. Is there any way you can tie this into like something?
Interesting.
Yeah, that was the first time that that had ever happened. And so that was like, you know, even because it's a new space for you, you start to learn new ways to monetize. Mm-hmm. And so when they came and they're like, oh, we have this song. It already has like 1 million views on YouTube, but can you also integrate it into your marketing? Because we want to like escalate, like we want to get it out to the wedding crowd. Sure. I'll take your check. That's how we started to discover new ways to monetize. Right.
How much did it grow to as far as like revenue per month? If you even are comfortable sharing a ballpark, is it something where you ever considered leaving your job to do Perfect full time?
So yeah, I definitely, at one point I would say that there was a month where, and it's not like large numbers by any chance, because I compared to like the potential, I would say like there could have been more, but at some point it was like, you know, you were seeing numbers like 20,000 come in on something that you're doing like passively, like not super actively in there. And that's, but then just started growing, like there were higher months and things like that. But, for me, the thing with Perfect was always that I knew that if I left my job, the potential was like limitless, because the kind of content that you're trying to like push, especially for a blog that posts, let's say 4 times a month or like 8 times a month, is really something that could add up. So I would say if you think about it, it's money that's coming in without many expenses. Like really beyond like the content. And then maybe I started to expand into staff.
Okay.
And that's when, like, that's when it started to really grow. So I would say, like, even at some point, it was growing into something that would bring in even 30,000 or more. Yeah. And it's like, okay, wait, this is a side hustle that's no longer becoming. This is working. Yeah.
What did you decide to do then?
I just kept drilling down on it and just trying to like make sure I was marketing to that space. Right. For instance, we have a great audience in Nigeria as well. So there's even that Nigerian aspect. None of the income that I was even mentioning was including that space. Yeah. So I registered the company in Nigeria as well. Oh. And started to monetize on that end as well. And so we're partnering with some brands there as well, with through a PR firm that we just loved and was like, you know, really contacting, like partnering with us on stuff as well. But Nikayla, like really, like it was that I saw that it was growing, but then I also saw that I was really into being a lawyer.
Oh,
okay. I don't know how to explain it. So for me, I started to find like what Perfect became to me was I started trying to figure out how I could do the law thing full time. Like I was doing it full time, but really double down on that space. So with Perfect, I started to think about things like, oh, the vendors here, these people are really taking care of so much money, like, you know, and so much and bringing so much of value. How can I be of service to them as well? And that is when I started really thinking about like expanding my focus to the creative business and to like, you know, event pros, which is what me and my law firm partner now, like, you know, also we also focus on like event pros in a good chunk of the industry. But it was really from that, because I saw that, okay, yes, I'm creating this thing that's doing well, like doing well enough for me to feel like it's something. We're still trying to find like, you know, product roots, how we can be of like more of a stable wedding, like, you know, a stable event and lifestyle business. But then I saw this space and I just ran with it.
And what exactly was that space? When you say event pros, what does that mean?
So with event professionals, a lot of times I find that they're creating and they're doing a lot of work. But then one thing that I was starting to see and hear from like my friends and people that are in the industry was that they weren't really protecting their business. So they weren't really handling like, you know, the legal aspect of businesses. And then even, and I think as my luck would have it, and maybe not theirs, you started to see more lawsuits.
Ooh.
Because events are... such a delicate and beautiful thing in people's lives. And because even if it's weddings or parties, I found that a lot of them were like, it could turn sour really quick.
Yeah.
And so there were a lot of lawsuits, and I'd start getting calls from people that maybe I wasn't handling their stuff then, but it's like, I'm getting some trouble from a client. Like, can you help me look, can your law firm help me look at my contract? And that's where I just started to see so many red flags. Mm. And so for me, I created Legally Set, which is our contract template shop for them.
Okay.
My brain is always thinking about a hustle, but this was the next side hustle that just felt natural to me.
What were some of the things you saw that were missing from their contracts?
Oh, gosh. Like from the beginning, even something as simple as payment terms. Mm-hmm. And you would think that that's the one that a lot of people would focus on. But like a lot of people weren't having like payment terms that made sense in terms of how much they earned or how much was going to be non-refundable, when payments were due, how payments would be accepted, something as basic as that. But then my biggest mistake that I kept seeing was in the description of services.
Ooh, what do you mean by that?
So anybody that has planned, and I know you know, but like even with planning your wedding, like one thing that people get is the confusion between what the vendor has promised and what the client is expecting.
Okay.
I find that a lot of the conflict happens when there's a conflict between that statement, because all of a sudden a planner is expected to be the MC or the person that's going to set up and break down on the day. And they're like, that is not part of my job. Or Right. Maybe they were supposed to do like, you know, handling of the guests mm-hmm. in a certain way yeah. or like, ooh, who's going to do the flower arrangement?
Yeah.
If those descriptions aren't clear, you have a problem from the beginning.
Right. That is so true. Because you'll have some people who are like, oh, it's all hands on deck. We were expecting you to just jump in and start doing stuff. Like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
There's a list of services.
Exactly. Or like even something as designing.
Right. How did you promote the contract template business?
So that was the great thing. So with having a company that already had like over 600,000 followers across different audiences, I call them perfect my funnel, because then it was easy enough to obviously reach out to the exact audience that you were trying to reach. I think I've been very intentional about building my own personal brand as mm-hmm. well, in terms of like, you know, my own space on the internet. So for me, people already knew I was juggling business and perfecthood in some way or yes. the other. So it was easy to be able to double dip into that audience. Mm-hmm. I also was really intentional about, like, you know, even months before I launched Legally Set, like I was very intentional about keeping the audience along, mm-hmm. like, you know, having little sessions yes. or maybe weekly I talk something legal. I'm also the kind of person that once I hear there's a new social media thing or the other, I'll run to it. So Clubhouse was very helpful in terms of like, you know, just showing up and talking about the topic that I wanted, like, you know, the topic that involved what I was going to sell.
Okay. You are on it. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, like that's like, it's if it's stuff that I'm telling people right. to do or like advising people on, I really have to put my money where my mouth is. And so for me, showing up even before I spend money on ads or any of mm-hmm. those, like, you know, the paid advertising,
yes.
like showing up and actually doing these things is so important to me.
I like the fact that although there is an active element, you know, like you just said, showing up, doing social, mm-hmm. being active and present, there is a lot of passive elements to the businesses that mm-hmm. you started. You know,
yeah.
you create these templates, they're done, they're for sale. Boom, you can go and get them. That is a very smart way to have a side hustle when you have such a demanding mm-hmm. job as an attorney. Mm-hmm. How did that funnel work, though? Was it something that was consistent with money? Was it also mm-hmm. something that ran you like five figures a month? Or was it, you know, like a slower process, slower revenue?
So for, I think because I had so much time mm-hmm. prepping for it, like I would say yes and no, because funnel, like, you know, in the beginning, because I already knew I was putting money into like, you know, the build
yeah.
of the site to make sure that it was actually working. I'm not the first person to do it. Like I've seen contract template shops come up
right,
so
right.
many times from other attorneys. So it's not like I was reinventing the wheel per se. I just obviously had the benefit of knowing what I wanted to do differently. Mm-hmm. So like for me, I know I was putting in money, like, you know, making sure that the contracts were drafted properly, like I was drafting them properly, but also making sure that I've always worked like with another attorney just to make sure that it's not one-sided. And now actually she's come on full-time and we are partners and co-owners of the Legally Set brand because we do this together, because these things are not a one-man ship at all. My partner in the law firm, Leah Weinberg, we do both the law firm and the contract templates together now. And the thing about digital templates, though, is like after a while, it's not that much money that you're pushing into like running it apart from the ads.
Yeah.
But the money's coming in because it's work that you've already done and work that you have the ease of updating from time to time without having to like stress about a physical product and like delivery and all those expenses. So I would say it's a very convenient side hustle.
So you mentioned that you mentioned this law firm that you started, but we have to talk about your transition from your original law firm that you worked at for, what was it, 11, 12 years? Yeah. When did you decide to leave?
Maybe 6 months before I actually decided, like actually said it out loud. It was more I saw that like, I mean, I was working for someone. I understood that the firm will obviously move in the direction that it wanted to, but I really wanted to be able to cater like not exclusively, but particularly to creative business owners. I also have a big affinity, obviously, as a Black woman, to Black entrepreneurs in general. So I wanted to be able to like, I started getting a lot of people reaching out to me, like specifically even because I was a Black woman. And it's like, oh, you know what? I wanted to make sure that this is the person that's handling my things and everything. And because my whole firm, like the rest of the firm isn't really doing that. Like I said, it's mostly criminal defense. Like I won't be able to sell what I'm doing. And because I was doing perfect and I was doing like, you know, like all these things, just felt like it would be a conflict for me to stay there that longer with the dreams that I had of like expansion. I wanted to be able to run my own like business, but my own firm the way I wanted to run it. And because Leah and I had worked, like we had started working on things together, I was like, you know, we should start a firm. Like, we can do this. I feel like there's so much there. And I'm glad that I did.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
I'm glad that I started to run the numbers too. I was like, this is how much I would have to make to be able to like feel like I'm not a failure. So I'm joking. That's the Nigerian in me. But like everybody knows with entrepreneur life, it's up and down.
Right.
So to be able to make sure that I'm staying afloat. So I dabbled, like I started to like put my foot out and be like, oh, hey, if I started a firm, is this stuff that you would be interested in? And honestly, it was the best decision. It took us a while, but like we started January 1st. and decided it was for us. And then nice. We've been going ever since.
And how is it gaining new clientele or even getting the word out that, hey, this is our firm, we do this?
That's something that I'm learning on the go. I'm not even going to lie. I think it's interesting. Like, one thing that you forget about, like, especially when you're moving from your side hustle to like a main hustle, mm-hmm. like when it's something you've been doing and then you do it, is that the responsibility is kind of double. Yeah. With like you going into your own thing, because now you're the boss and now you're the person that has to keep the business going, and there's just so many aspects of it. So it's different mm-hmm. with professional organizations or businesses like a law firm or an accounting firm. You have to, like, whatever you think the popular way of advertising is, it might not necessarily be the one that works for you. Mm. So it's joining like these organizations in the back end,
okay.
going to the quote-unquote Westchester business fair,
yeah.
and getting local, like, you know,
right.
businesses to know what your business is. There's a lot of, like, you know, paid advertising too, mm-hmm. like their firms that do this and the marketing, but it's also just showing up mm-hmm. a lot. Like, you'll find, I'm sure Siri is listening right yeah, now. So yeah. probably when you go on Instagram now, you're going to see yep. just a bunch of law firm ads. Mm-hmm. But it's, for me, I still lean on what has worked for me from the beginning, which has always been like my form of advertising, where it's like I'm weaving into my regular day. I'm doing content as I feel like it's right and appropriate. And for some reason, it keeps reaching people. And so it brings in like, mm-hmm. like people still come because they keep seeing your face or your message showing up in things. Mm-hmm. And that's how we've been doing. But we've also been tapping into like the more traditional things. Our email newsletter never misses.
Okay.
Something that's constant. If you follow Legally Set, and if you sign up for the Legally Set letter, for instance, and we use Legally Set as a funnel too,
okay.
because people buy contract templates,
yeah.
but then some people need like customized, more right. specific.
Or they have follow-up questions and
follow-up
things like
questions
that.
And things like yeah. that. And Legally Set is just a shop. Mm-hmm. It's a shop because, I mean, we're not licensed to practice law in 50 states of America.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're not creating like attorney-client relationships. Yep, that's my disclaimer.
Now, question, speaking of that whole disclaimer business, how do you manage, when you were still working at the firm, the whole conflict of interest thing or just the rules that they have? I saw this year an influencer post about joining the firm and them finding out about her mm-hmm. fashion.
You saw
that. Yeah. How do mm-hmm. you navigate that?
You navigate it beginning and end. Unfortunately, like, things are changing really
yeah,
fast.
Yeah.
So everything begins and ends with your employment agreement.
Okay.
A lot of stuff will begin and end with your employment agreement. So that's why it's very important that you check what you've signed. Mm-hmm. Because if something states that you can't make certain income in certain ways, it has to be a full-time job, and it can't be something that it's like, you know, like, can make income elsewhere
yeah.
or something similar, depending on what that language is,
yeah.
is really important. A lot of people are signing things that are open-ended. I did see that situation, and it was like, I felt so horrible for her, because it depends on what is obviously inside her agreement.
Right.
But, Because a lot of people are, even influencers, non-influencers, but a lot of people are making money now through content.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important that you see what you're signing before you enter into them. Even doctors have that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I'm sure there's something in like doctor agreements
yeah.
that say you can't do like, you know, like side consultations
right,
or
right.
like, you know, share certain
yeah.
things. The employment agreement is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
And just making sure. So I navigated that because I knew what was in my own employment
yes.
agreement. And I was also very candid. I've always been candid with my employers,
mm-hmm.
just but that's the benefit of like a smaller firm.
Yes.
Obviously.
It really is nice when you can have a relationship and you feel supported
mm-hmm.
in your outside ventures, and they know that they don't need to be threatened by it. But the world is
mm-hmm.
shifting. Like,
it is.
The industry of influencers and their reach on TikTok and all these other platforms
mm-hmm.
didn't exist 10 years ago. And so now employers are getting a little bit more up hip
yeah.
to it. And they are, I think they're
mm-hmm.
afraid too of people just like coming to work and making
it's
a bunch
fear.
Of content. Like, do your job. You
no,
know,
it's fear. I think,
yeah.
I mean, that's, it's legit, like, to be honest, legitimate.
And honestly,
like, I can imagine.
It's a slippery slope because I definitely don't want my
mm-hmm.
doctor, like, filming any content of me. I mean, I don't want to go back on IG and see, like, my shoes in your, like, even if you didn't put my face, it's a slippery slope, okay? This generation coming up.
God, it is like it's. Listen, I just don't want. I don't want to hear my old person rant.
On your Instagram stories about me. Yeah. Question I asked in your office today. No,
no, like exactly. Like I've seen, but you know what? Yeah. We're laughing, but it's legit. Like all of a sudden, you're the story behind a whole Twitter thread. Right. I'm like,
I follow you. Why? You might not know, but Doc, I follow you on IG. I see your stories.
Like where's my business here? it's gonna be a real concern.
It's gonna be a real law concern. And by the way, guys, this is a tangent, but you know, this might be applicable to you guys as well. Cause I know as a lot of businesses, like you're trying to make content around your business, right? Make sure that your customers don't feel violated. Like I remember I went for a facial and after I was leaving the facial, I realized when my eyes were closed, the woman was taking video of me. I went in on her in the DMs and she took it down. Are you kidding me? Like,
rightfully
you need permission to film people, even if you're trying to promote your business. So make sure you're getting permission and you're not violating people's rights.
Also, make sure you're reading the terms and conditions before you sign up. Just because you see that the hairstylist has written in all caps about so many things on that booking page. We all know what I'm talking about, where you're already debating whether or not you're going to this hairdresser in the first place.
If you're taking the risk because you love their work, right?
Listen, just make sure you scroll down. Scroll because all I the way down. Photos and videos in caps will be taken.
Make sure you dress cute or something like that.
And I'm like, oh God.
If I feel like you're yelling at me, I'm not coming. I'm not coming.
Listen, you know, I have to, Misa knows my problems. Yes. I'm sending her message. I've sent her a screenshot, my friend. And I'm like, do you think I should go to this? And she's like, Kumbi, the woman is yelling at you right now.
So,
what do you want
to do? All jokes aside, on both sides of the equation, read your agreements. Yeah. They're changing now. So nowadays, we had a little bit more freedom. Creating content on the side was not something employers were thinking about. Now they're thinking about it.
No,
and
they are.
And those agreements are including it. So, you know, be aware of what you're signing. And I know some people will take a risk and do it anyway, but a risk will have consequences. Yeah.
It will. And also employment agreements, some agreements too will have like morals clauses.
Mm.
And a morals clause sometimes like could lean towards like, you know, you're not allowed to bring like certain kind of negative press or whatever. Mm. Like, you know, behaviors could also like be cause for termination or something like that. Yeah. My policy is if you don't understand it, don't sign it. Like, it's just as simple as that, because what you could be signing up something that's really going to cost you money in the future.
Oh, yes. Now, I understand that you are considering selling Perfect. Mm-hmm. How did you come to that decision and why did you want to do that?
So for me, it's always been, I feel like at some point during your side hustle journey, you have to make the decision. I feel like at some point you will have to make the decision whether or not you want to upgrade it to your main hustle, or if you want to continue, you either want to continue like in perpetuity of it being like something that's just like something that you're holding on to. Like I mentioned, like one thing that I've always known about Perfect is that the revenue could be way bigger than what I've done with it. I've managed it because the hustle that I've been doing. But like for me, it's a combination of that and knowing that it would do greater things in somebody's hands. Mm-hmm. And it's the idea that I feel like I'm transitioning through that season again. I have a second child now. My hands are full. that's the nicest way to put it. And she's something. So it's just like, you know what? I just feel like there's always a point where you realize that somebody else can do more for it than you might be able to do.
Yeah.
And that it's just something that needs a particular kind of attention. Yeah. So I'm in that stage of, you know, like speaking through offers and things like that of like, you know, preparing for a possible exit.
Okay. How do you reconcile how much, if you were able to give it more time or hire more staff to give it more time, how much you would be able to make versus how much you'll make from the sale?
I think it just depends. Like, in terms of reconciliation, it was more that I came to the point where I did the math and I was like, even if it made X amount of money, can I really focus on it full time if my passion and where I'm feeling like I'm really called to serve is in the law aspect? Like, it would always be something where I'm distracting like myself and my audience with the two things, because it's like, okay, this is Kumbi of Perfect, but it's also Kumbi of the law firm. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you
and
mean.
So like, yeah, so I just felt like it was a situation where it wasn't something I could do passively anymore. It wasn't something where I could be like, okay, this was what I'm doing. And also for me, like, honestly, like on a more personal note, I felt like at some point it starts to become not a conflict of interest, but it's like, if I'm servicing these people or the creatives in this space, like, I want to make sure the line is clear that I'm not also their competitor. Do you know what I mean? In any way, like, not necessarily, but like, I'm not, but like, I just want to be able to make that even, like, I just want to really be able to relay that I'm that person in one lane than the other. I also feel like it's in a season of growth in which I feel like somebody could really take it on and like get into that space and do something really amazing with it before the followers don't mean anything anymore. I feel like with any business, when you're trying to like weigh whether or not it's worth of value, you want to make sure that it's of value when you're selling it. So it's of value. And I think it's something that would make sense to somebody else.
I see what you're saying.
So reconciling that was not hard for me. I think I'm one of those people that would move really, like, I move with my gut a lot, but I also move with at least some kind of educated pointing where I'll do the math and realize, okay, but even if I made this much, what's going to happen to my law business? What's going to happen to this? And I don't want those to suffer just because I'm trying to, like, what happens? There will always be, for me, because maybe it's because of, obviously, of the businesses that I've dealt with, or the businesses that I've helped, like, you know, work with. It's just, I always feel like there's an end date. What that end date looks like is different from everybody. Like, obviously, that end date could mean that it has grown or expanded into something else. And then now it's a new thing, like how Isle Perfect became Perfect. There was an end date for one and became the next. Or it could be that you make $100 million and sell it to, like, you know, X or Target or something. Or you decide that it's not for you anymore and change your completely pivot and change your business model. So for me, I feel like this is the natural, like, the end date is not necessarily the end of the business, but the end of me as the person that's handling it.
It's transition season, and it's so good that you can recognize, you can have that conversation with yourself and recognize when, you know what, it's time, your time has come to part. Your heart is somewhere else, and that's okay.
Exactly.
I'll keep on saying this, but it's like, as entrepreneurs, we hire ourselves. It's not clear when you get to leave. Like, when you get a job, it's more normalized for people to work somewhere for 5 years and then leave. When you're an entrepreneur and all of a sudden you want to move to something different, there's like more stigma attached, or people are like, what? You started a business? Like, no, I've been here for 5 years and I'm ready for a change, or I've been here for 10 years and I'm ready for a change, just like a normal human who started a job and wants something new.
I think so. And I think that conversation actually starts within, I love to study like women entrepreneurs. I love them. So like, I've seen, like, for me, I've seen like so many transitions. I think even like, I had messaged Nicole Kane at one point when I was like trying to pivot, like, you know, like, I've seen like models and I've seen things where they, like, a lot of people have been very candid about, like, you know, their experiences selling. So for me to come to the decision to like want to exit, I've seen that emotional like dilemma and task it is. I've seen the emotional consequences of sales. So you have to do a lot of mental gymnastics in the beginning to get yourself where you are comfortable and you know for sure, like, okay, Kumbi, now this is what you're trying to do. Just know there's no take back.
You can't ask for it back. This is the,
no, you can't. There are no take backs. Are you okay with whatever direction this goes in that you have no control over? So like I said, like, you're wrestling with yourself in the beginning and making sure that you are now at the point where it's like, okay, I have done the numbers. I've also done the emotional.
Yes, because your identity becomes wrapped up in it too.
Exactly. It's literally one and the same. Yeah. Like, everything becomes like, it in any passion field business, you're putting so much more than money inside it. Everybody knows that. So like, there's a lot of like wrestling that you have to do and have to like try, kind of start to try and distance your identity from that single thing. Because like you said, I could change my mind in 5 years and decide that this is something else. Or I could decide I don't want to do this anymore. I could decide that this is not the season I'm in. So I have to be able to remove that and not have the incredible hangover or depression that comes with it because I've removed myself from something that I thought was just part and yes. like my full purpose. So, yeah.
And you went from starting something yourself to now starting something mm-hmm. with a business partner. What was that mm-hmm. like? And how do you guys manage being in partnership?
I'm so grateful. Like, I'm grateful that it was something that I really thought about. Yeah. Like, I got, like, I remember running it by a bunch of people, even people that had partners were like, Kumbi, are you mad? What are you doing? Like, especially right at the point when I turned 35 and I'm like, okay, I want to do this. And one of my friends was like, I'm trying to get out of one right now. I don't know what you're doing. But it goes back to being able to do that mental work in the beginning and realize that this is what you're going to do. Going into a partnership is like a marriage.
Yes.
It is like lawyers will tell you that all the time yes. because it's just about the same amount of paperwork you have to do to get out of it. Mm-hmm. It's simple as that. So like we know about like there's a law firm where the two partners, if you're from New York, you know what I'm talking about, where like they have had a big breakup and we see their ads on TV all the time, but yeah. now it's only one name that's there. You know what I'm talking about. So it gets really awkward, but like, it's because it's a lot of stuff that goes into yeah. it. So for me, with my partner, she'd been working behind the scenes with me from the beginning, mm-hmm. from the beginning of the template shop. Like we've always done it together, but she wasn't sure she wanted to like really fully commit to law. And I was like, well, I am a very convincing person. So I won't even like, it's okay. I'm sure you'll come around. And then one day she came around, but it's a lot. And it's also removing the emotion from it from okay. the beginning. I believe in that 100%, regardless of what kind of business you're doing. Yeah. If you're going into a partnership, you need to remove the emotion from it yes. and do the work in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Make sure that your contracts are clear as to how things would be handled. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you both are understanding of what your business goals are
yes.
and what it is that your long-term plans are, how long you envision being in this partnership, because emotions will cloud judgment, especially at the inception. And then when those start to fade,
right.
you start to get really antsy about what's left.
Yes.
It's the same thing with, like I said, with marriage.
Yeah.
But like, it's like, you know, you want right. to make sure you're doing the work and checking in. Another thing is also like, you know, personality types and making sure that you understand that we are always doing some kind of personality understanding. She's super type A. I'm more on the, oh God, just what I call vibes. But like we make it work.
Yes.
So like making sure that we're both understanding that. I feel like in any business relationship, partnership or not, a lot of things, like a lot of conflicts can be resolved by making sure that assumptions aren't what we're doing, but we're really going down to the letter. Mm-hmm. So this is why it's so fun when two lawyers go into business together, because it's the kind of rubbish that we talk about. Like, okay, so now let's be serious. And then we have lots of talking.
Right. I imagine it's easier because you both know that, hey, mm-hmm. this is how we need to enter a partnership mm-hmm. legally. There's nothing emotional mm-hmm. here. I'm not saying I don't trust you or this or that, but we got to plan
exactly.
for an exit. If we decide, hey, I want to mm-hmm. just focus on my family. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this is how we would dissolve and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I just find that interesting because there's so many people who enter into unofficial partnerships. And it could be it could be something as mm-hmm. people all the time, you know, when they ask me or they join podcast moguls, they're like, I think I need a co-host or, you know, me and my mm-hmm. co-host this. And I consider that a partnership, okay? Like,
it is,
if you're
going to
start a podcast, if you're going to start a podcast with someone, you guys need to have some agreements in place, because I have seen people mm-hmm. break up and then it's like, all right, well, who gets the podcast? And I put all this work into it.
The
so
asset.
Mm-hmm. What happens? You know, mm-hmm. you're going to continue making mm-hmm. money off this? Like, any kind of partnership, you need to have a business agreement and all these other agreements, because, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I know you need a bunch of agreements.
You do. You want to make sure that it's clear what the intellectual property is. It is intellectual property. You're doing things, you're creating ideas, a collaboration agreement at the very mm-hmm. least, mm-hmm. detailing what everybody's bringing and what happens if you guys decide to terminate that collaboration. Yes. It's really important.
Yes.
Because it's not even a matter of it's considered a partnership. It is a partnership. Yes. Anything in which you're doing something with another person for value or in exchange for something in any way or the other, even if it's not income generating,
right.
is of value. You do not want a situation where things will turn ugly right. really fast
right.
and people will surprise you.
Yes.
And even if it doesn't, don't even you just want peace of mind?
Peace of mind. It's just easier to know, oh, okay, mm-hmm. these are the steps we're going to follow. So you guys,
exactly.
I give you permission. If you have started a business with a friend and you did not do any kind of agreements, send them this episode, say, hey, after listening to this, I realized this is what we need. Again, not because I don't trust you or what have you, but we're going to treat this as a business and we're going to do everything right. So this will help with that conversation.
Yeah, I think you can say, just because I want to remain friends of you, right, with you if this goes left.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
I love you. I want to make sure.
And this is why I don't do business with friends and I don't do living with friends because I want to remain friends with them. But if I was to do a business, I think a business would be easier because, we would just, outline everything, have all the agreements in place. And I'm glad that I know this now before I ever attempted to do that. So thank you for sharing that. And before we jump into the lightning round, I'm curious to know how you feel now working in your own firm versus when you worked at a firm.
I'm always working now, man. I'm always.
Oh, really?
Like, what? Like, well, I'm only always working now. I'm not going to lie. It's been one thing for sure. The reason why I did it is why I feel more at peace in that regard. It just feels like what I'm doing matters.
Yes.
It's not a drop in an ocean anymore. Like, I'm speaking to people one-on-one and it's like, oh, this is how I'm changing somebody's business.
Yeah.
A lot of it's giving a little bit of narcissism right now, but like, it just, the way I was saying it, but like, it's fulfilling being able to see a business grow and know that you played a part in it or whatever. Mm. So that's one. But then also, not to get super deep, but I feel like I'm creating a legacy. Mm. I'm creating something of mine. It's something. I have a daughter now. Let me tell you something. It's a game changer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just, I mean, I have a daughter and a son. It's not gender wars here, guys. Yeah. But like, it's just like, I feel like I'm doing something really important. And like, it's my name on something. It's something that I'm building.
Right.
Like, and even after I'm not here, it will be here. And it's something that I've created.
Yeah.
It's exciting for me.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. It's not gender wars at all. It's different lenses. I always joke with my friends when I found out I was having a girl. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I'm going to have a little bit more explaining to do. Like, it's going to be like, mommy, what's this wig about? What's like, girl. Every little move now, got to explain.
Everything. I'm going to, when we're done, I'll send it to you privately, but I'll send you Ara dragging my wig around.
And I think I saw it on your IG story.
I think what it is, like I said, it's what it is because you see yourself in somebody else.
Yeah.
And it can mess with your mind because, like, you know, now all of a sudden it's a problem because any millennial will know, it's like we're always trying to overcorrect.
Oh, yeah. I'm already like, oh man, how do I make sure she doesn't get my bad habits? But you don't get to design your child. You just shepherd them.
Exactly. So it's just like, you feel there's a little extra pressure now, like, to make sure that she's seeing the right thing. So yeah, it's an exciting time. Oh. They talk too much. I feel like even though she can't talk, I just feel like there's a lot of attitude with her face.
It's coming. Okay, so I'm pulling up the lightning round. We're going to jump into it. You just answer the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
No.
Yes. Yes. All right. So, number one, what's a resource, not Google, that has helped you in your many businesses that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
SBA.gov, guys. I'm sorry. It's a very important one, and I feel like people don't think about it a lot. It's not just for loans.
Okay.
Even your local SBA association can help you start a business. They can give you their advisors over there that you can book appointments with that will help you do these things, a lot of things for free and walk you through a lot of stuff. Just go on there. I say SBA.gov because then you're able to see a lot of government, like they'll point you, they create it in a way that they can walk you through things. I do not have any stake in that business. Yes. I'm just telling you.
Thanks for that reminder.
First off,
you're so right. So Small Business Association, guys, we'll link to that. Small Business Association.
The Small Business Association, and each state will have their own Small Business Association, like maybe not an accelerator, but things that they will help assist with, even things as simple as formation, but even also like just making sure you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And these, you can tap into those resources for free.
Okay. Number two, who is a non-celebrity Black woman entrepreneur that you would trade places with for a day and why?
You. Yes. I'm not even being funny. It's not going to be very boring. Honestly, let's trade life so you can deal with my daughter for now. But it is you. And this is like, anybody that knows me personally knows that. You know that I signed up for your podcast Mobius course even before I met you because I wanted to start a podcast. I think you're doing something really brilliant. I think for someone to go through from corporate into this and like really create a space that's like dedicated and like, you know, a space that's actually speaking directly to women entrepreneurs. I think it's amazing, especially Black women entrepreneurs. Yes. And you've done it for so long. Yeah. Like, bruh, you're doing something really amazing. I would
trade me cry.
No, I'm serious. Like, no, you're doing something, you're impacting.
Thank you.
And excuse me, everybody knows Nikayla as one word, even if I say Nikayla because I named you, like, whatever the situation.
Yeah, you're the only one I'll let you remix it like that.
Thank you. But you know what I mean? Like, we know who you are and you're doing something amazing.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Number three, what is a non-negotiable part of your day?
30 minutes of silence I have before I hear my daughter cry in the morning. So I try to wake up at least 30 minutes earlier than her. Mm-hmm. Because I have, for instance, I have ADHD, like, diagnosed. I also have many, like, businesses that I have to check on and make sure I'm burning. So for me, it's just even being able to get just complete silence in the morning before. So I'm not starting my day on a, like, very, like, antsy, like, you know, high-pitched days.
Yeah.
It's the game changer for me.
I need to start doing that consistently. Because every time I love it, but then I just, sleep calls me.
Yeah,
and
sleep.
But no, I need to, because I feel good every time I do it.
Even if it's 30 minutes.
Yeah,
just
even 30
something.
Minutes.
I just need
alone
something.
With my tea and my thoughts. What is a personal trait that has helped you significantly in business?
It's the vibes, girl. It's the vibes. One thing about me, I'm not down for long.
Yeah.
So tenacity is really important when you're doing your business. But you find out even more when you're an entrepreneur because there will be punches. There will be punches. And there's no time, like, there's only so much time you can do to take it personal and wallow. Otherwise, like, business is it's a super volatile situation, regardless of what industry it is. Like, you, especially being a business owner. So you, like, they're almost like, you can have minutes, you can have hours, you can have days, you can have weeks, but you have to get up at some point and figure out what your strategy is, whether it's to move, exit, keep going, whatever it is. It's a trait that I'm finding to be very helpful. So I will have moments where it's like, okay, I'm burnt out. Or it's moments where it's like, okay, this is not going well. Yeah. It's also moments of like, why is this tax bill $10,000 or something crazy? But it's that grit in terms of coming back up that's really important to me.
And then finally, number five, what's your parting advice for fellow women entrepreneurs who want to be their own boss but are holding on to that steady paycheck?
Mm-hmm. That paycheck is bae. Let's not lie. Yep. That paycheck is bae. And it's okay. It doesn't matter how long it takes for you to figure out the numbers and for you to save that money. You don't have to rush it. I know that we all follow our guts and everything, and it's a great thing. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing for you to do that. But it's okay. It's also absolutely okay if you decide that you want to build that money.
Yeah.
And once you're ready, like, just put a number in mind, put a timeline in mind if you want. But also know that it's okay if you decide that that paycheck is great for a longer period of time. But then once you're ready, do it. Like I said, it took me months to decide to quit my firm job. But then one day it just came out of my mouth. Mm. So one day it was just like, okay, so I'm so sorry. This is my notice. My God. And then you just do it. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I'm sure people are going to want to connect with you after this episode. What's the best place for them to reach out, stay in touch?
Oh, so I have so many places, guys. I'm everywhere, like I said. You can find me on Instagram at KumbiESQ, KumbiESque. you can also find me at KumbiO.com, shop contract templates at LegallySet and LegallySet.com.
Okay. And there you have it, you guys. I will talk to you next week. Kumbi, thank you so much for being in the guest chair. This was amazing.
Thank you so much.
I loved our laugh.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys. Take care. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you will receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.